Amen. That'll wake you up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please forgive me for being redundant, but can we all stand together? Praise the Lord. Place our right hands over our heart and let us pledge our allegiance to the flag one more time, the American flag one more time. And I want you to think about the words as you are pledging your allegiance to the flag. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You may be seated in the house this morning. I'll ask you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to preach just a little bit and share just a little bit on that subject. The pledge of freedom. The pledge of freedom. 1 Peter chapter 2, down in verse 16, reading the one verse. Praise God. I don't know if you ever took the time to think about the words that we say when we pledge our allegiance to the flag, more so when we pledge our allegiance to the Christian flag or to the Bible, as we so often do in Vacation Bible School. I know that they have quite a few times have recently taken out that you cannot pray in school. We know that. That's been taken out for a while. I'm not sure about if they still recite the Pledge of Allegiance in schools or not. Does anybody know if they still do the Pledge of Allegiance? And some are saying yes, some are saying no. It may be just different in different school areas. And I know that in recent arguments, they have tried to take out the phrase, one nation under God, which if we take that out, then we have lost all of our freedom. Amen. But I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, down in verse 16, just that one verse there. If you have it, can you say amen? As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. Another translation puts it this way. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as a bondslave of God. Amen. That we are to act free. We live in a land of the free, and we are to act free. I just simply want to, if I can, just for a few minutes, take apart the Pledge of Allegiance and simply just share with you the Pledge of Freedom. Heavenly Father, we just magnify you right now. God, we pray that your anointing would rest in this place. We pray, God, that you will move in this place, oh God, by your Spirit. And Father God, help us to recognize the freedom in which we live, oh God. Father God, we have the liberty of Jesus Christ. God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the house said, freedom, whether it is given to us by Jesus Christ when we accept Him and receive Him as Savior and as Lord, or freedom, whether it is given in this great country in which we live, was never meant to be exploited or abused. Amen. Freedom was never meant to be exploited or abused or misused, as the text says. It was never meant to be used as a, as the King James says, a cloak of maliciousness or a covering of evil. It was never meant so that we could be free to wrap ourselves up in our evil deeds and our evil thoughts and our evil lifestyles in which we live. No, the privilege of being free is that I have the freedom to do the right thing. I have the freedom and the liberty to do the right thing. I have the freedom and the liberty to do what God wants me to do. And that's the privilege of being free. The Pledge of Allegiance. 31 simple words in this Pledge of Allegiance. Yet they are so profound and they are so powerful in the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag that we just need to take some time just for a few minutes and look at them. The first three words are powerful in itself. I pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance. How many of you understand and notice that the very first word is the personal pronoun I? Amen. It's the personal pronoun I. It doesn't mean we. It doesn't mean they. It doesn't mean you. It means I. That the very first thing that you have to understand in committing to a legacy of faith and a legacy of freedom is that I pledge allegiance to that freedom. How many of you understand that's the same way it works in Christianity? That when you stand before God, when the time has come and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, how many of you understand your pastor isn't going to be there with you, defending you as your lawyer? No, it's going to be between you and the Lord. Jesus Christ himself being your lawyer and your advocate there. So I would make sure this morning that you are with Christ Jesus, our Lord. I pledge of allegiance. Whether it is in the hour of our greatest trials or simply in the moment of day by day living, we have to be respectful and remember our pledge. How many of you understand what a pledge is? A pledge is not something to be broken. Sometimes when we're trying to raise money and sometimes when we're trying to commit to things, and I know there are some that have probably dealt with this on a larger scale than what I have, but we'll try to, oh, let's give pledges and let's send pledges. And the sad thing is that some pledges never come in. But can I tell you this morning that a pledge is something that is to be kept. It's something to be. And when we raise our right hand over our heart and say, I pledge allegiance to the American flag, and I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, and when we in our daily lives as Christians, when we pledge our allegiance to God, it's not something that is meant to be broken. It's something that is meant to be kept. How many of you understand that God pledged his allegiance to us when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary? He said, I love you and I'm going all the way for you. I pledge my allegiance to you. And some will turn their backs, some will spit, some will mock, some will reject me, but I'm still pledging my allegiance unto you. I'm sending my son to die for you. Amen. In the Declaration of Independence, it states this, and for the support of this declaration, we affirm our reliance on the protection of a divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. This pledge, the founders' allegiance to the American flag and to this country, was not only just to this country, but it was to a country that was backed by God. I know they have tried to take it out in all kinds of arenas and all kinds of, you see them moving 10 commandments over and over again away from courthouses and out of school system. Don't want to teach the Bible, but this country was founded upon the principles of God Almighty and the freedom to worship God. It was a freedom to worship God. And the founding fathers understood that, that if this country is going to work, it has got to be surrounded and backed by God himself. By the divine protector. This has got to be backed by God himself. I pledge allegiance to the flag. To the flag. Old Glory is what she's called. I pledge allegiance to the flag. In fact, when we sing the Star Spangled Banner, one of the most highlighted points, and so many people have sang it, I've heard some good renditions, and I've heard some bad renditions, but so many people have sung it, but one of the highlights of the song of the Star Spangled Banner is when this verse goes, and the rocket's red flare and the bombs bursting in air gave proof to the night that our flag was still there. You know what the song is saying? The song is saying, in the midst of the trials and the adversities and the bombs and the rockets and everything that was going on, the symbol of freedom is still standing, is still alive. I know there's a war going on in Iraq. I know there are rumors of wars going on in Iran, but the symbol of freedom for the moment is still standing, and I can hold my head up and still say that I'm in a free country and in a free land. It's a symbol of freedom. How many of you understand this morning that it's the same concept in the Christian world, that no matter what the devil throws at your life, no matter what spiritual rockets and spiritual bombs begin to blow off in the chaos of your life, that Christ Jesus who hung on the cross is our Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner. And no matter what hell or high water may come, bless God, he still stands and says, You're free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That Christ has made us free. And it doesn't matter. See, for a Christian who goes through difficulty and trial and torment and all kinds of things that we go through in our lives, it doesn't matter what we go through. In the back of my mind, I still see the banner waving. I still see the glory. Paul said, I will glory in the cross of Christ. I'll not boast in what I can do. I'll not boast in who I am, but I will glory in the cross of Christ. Christ is our banner. And Paul, I believe Paul, when he was down at the chopping block of Nero, and Nero gave the order to release the axe upon his head, I believe in the back of his mind, he saw all glory. I'm not talking about the American flag. I'm talking about the cross as a banner waving in the sky. And he was saying, even so, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I've pledged my allegiance, and I'm ready. I'm ready. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Of the United States of America. One man said it this way: men's hearts ought not to be set against one another, but set with one another, and all against evil only. That as Americans, separate the fact that we're Christians right this minute. As Americans, we ought not have our hearts set against one another, but set with one another. How many of you understand that there's too much bickering and fighting going on between Americans? We've got battlegrounds and all kinds of other things that are going on in this melting pot we call America. But what the writer says there is that we shouldn't set our hearts against one another, but we should set our hearts with Jesus. Even taught that. How many of you understand? He said that a nation divided against itself, it will not stand. It will not stand. Well, there are so many that are saying in the backdrop of your mind, and I know what you're saying. Well, my commitment is to God, and my commitment is to holiness. And my commitment is to this. I'm not committed to America. I'm committed to God, because this isn't my home and this isn't my land. I know that my home is up in heaven somewhere. And you know, that's fine and that's wonderful and that's glorious and all that kind of other good spiritual analogy and everything. But how many of you understood, if this land was not as free as what it is now, and if you were, or let's take this scenario, perhaps you were born in China or in Japan or somewhere in Russia somewhere, and if you weren't born in the land of the free, can I tell you would have never heard about the holiness way. You would have never heard about God Almighty except that you were born in a free country and a free world. We have a duty to pledge our allegiance to this wonderful United States of America. It's not perfect, but it's where we live. And I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Democracy, the freedom and the liberty that we, when you look at somebody in the White House and you think to yourself, boy, the worst president there ever was. Can I tell you, guess who put him there? We have the freedom and the liberty to do that. We have these wonderful and grand debates and these grand arguments and these grand warfares between Democrats and Republicans. Do you know the reason why we can have these wonderful grand debates between Democrats and Republicans? It's because we're in a democracy and we're free. Be thankful that you have. I know it's ugly sometimes. I know this warfare sometimes between Democrats and Republicans. But be thankful you could have lived in Nazi Germany with a dictator by the name of Adolf Hitler and God and had that one authority living over you. You are living in the land of the free. Watch this. And I always try to encourage people to vote. I try to do it myself, because we have been given the liberty and the freedom to make the choices the way you get officials in the local, in the state, in the national office. And I know probably somewhere it's corrupted in there somewhere, but I can't help that. From all I've learned in economics and in government, the only way I know is they get in office because I vote them in there. Now, that's what I've been told. But can I tell you, we have the liberty and the freedom, and the only time we don't have that liberty is when we keep silent. The only time we don't have that liberty, it is the same way in the Christian world. The only time you don't have liberty and freedom is when you keep silent. When you say, Lord, I want to keep this part in my life hidden. I want to keep this part in my life tucked away somewhere. That's the only time you don't have liberty and freedom. Paul said, I need to walk in the liberty of Christ thereof. I need to walk in freedom and in liberty. We can say over and over again, well, I don't care what happens to America, and I don't care what all the Democrats or the Republicans, I don't care about what goes on. But how many of you understand, have you read your Bible? Do you notice how many prophets of old were patriotic to their country? Huh? That even in the midst when God said, spoke through Isaiah, and he spoke through Jeremiah, and he spoke through Ezekiel, and through Daniel, and even spoke through Jesus himself, that even in the midst of destruction, and even in the prophesying of doom and gloom, they didn't just sit back and say, well, we're living in the last days, and there's nothing we can do about it. We need to just sit back and just wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. No. They never did that. No, they kept loving their nation and loving their country and trying to get them right and trying to preach the gospel and share the gospel message unto them. That's what we've got to do. We cannot be silent. We've got to share the gospel to set men free. We've got to share the gospel to set men free. Then he says this, and to the Reformation, for which it says, one nation under God. One nation under God. That we are one nation. We are as diverse by states. In fact, if you look at America, we're like a jigsaw puzzle. We are diverse by states as we are by personality. There are a lot of you in here that think just alike sometimes, but there are no two people in this building that are exactly the same. Thank you, Lord. There are no two people that are exactly the same. We are all diverse in this place. And I know we don't have Africans, and I know we don't have different kinds of cultures that come in all the time. But can I tell you, even if they did come in all the time, as long as they're naming the name of Jesus, we're all bought by the same blood. We're all a part of the same family. We're all in the same body. And that's what he said. That's what the book said. That we have one faith and one Lord and one God. We have one God and Father of all. That we're all a part of the same family. Whether you're Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, if you name the name of Jesus and you believe it in your heart with all of your heart, can I tell you we're all a part of the same family? Oh, come on, somebody. I know back in the day, we Pentecostals used to put our thumbs behind our lapels, and we used to be high and mighty and thought every Baptist, every Methodist, every Presbyterian, and anybody else that wasn't a Pentecostal was going straight to hell. I know what the history is. I'm too young to kind of fall back into that, but I know. I've read history, and I know what it's about, but can I tell you, there are going to be some good Baptist folk in heaven. There are going to be some good Methodist folk in heaven. There are going to be some good Presbyterian folk in heaven. There's going to be some good people. You may not even know what they are necessarily down here on earth, but it'll be surprising and shocking to understand and to know there are going to be some people in heaven you didn't think if you were God you'd have marked them off the map, but because God is God, he says, I'm going to call them from every country and every tribe and every nation and every tongue. One nation under God. We have got to be a nation that is committed to God. The founding fathers were a people that were committed unto God Almighty. I know they tried to say that a few of them were not committed unto God, that a few of them were deists, and a few of them were this, and a few of them were that. But can I tell you, the founding fathers were committed unto God. The reason why they left England was to remove themselves from the tyranny of England, of the Church of England, and they were to set themselves free in this free land to worship God. Yes, that means that they could worship anything they wanted to, but I understand that the founding fathers worship the one true God. Worship the one true God. One nation under God with liberty and justice. With liberty. How many of you are thankful right now for liberty? That with liberty and justice. Indivisible with liberty and with justice. I love Patrick Henry's statement here. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and of slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what other course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Can I tell you that ought to be the cry of every Christian in this place this morning, that you ought to cry out, give me liberty or give me death. He whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Thank God for liberty. Thank God for justice. Can I tell you, I know that our justice system probably ain't the best thing in the world. I know that there are corruptions at times, but I bless God for the justice of God, for what the government may sit through. Can I tell you, God is going to have a grand and reckoning day, and the weed and the tares are going to grow up together, but then the justice of God is going to separate, and he will be just on that last day with liberty and justice. And then I'm going to close with these two words. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For every tiny baby that is an unborn child, or whether they are newborn, it is for all. Whether it's for the old men who sit around on their porch and they wonder and they speculate on what life could have been like, and they reminisce over what life has been, it's for all. Whether it's been through old women who mourn the loss of loved ones over and over again, this liberty and justice is for all. For the young like myself who are idealistic and think that there's still a little bit of good left in America and there's still a little bit of good left in this country, this liberty and justice is for all. Can I tell you, this freedom that we have is for all. It's for the rich. This freedom is for the rich. Amen. This freedom is for the poor. This freedom is for the destitute. This freedom is for the lonely. This freedom is for all. That's what the pledge said, with liberty and justice for all. But may I just in my closing remarks tell you this, my brothers and sisters, and that is the important fact, that there is a greater freedom in which Jesus Christ purchased on the cross of Calvary. That he also, if he had made a pledge, he would have put it this way, that this freedom and liberty is for all. In fact, he did put it this way when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? For whosoever will can come to him and have everlasting life. I don't know if you know it or not, but whosoever will is for all. He purchased our freedom and he made it available for all. Thank God. If you're not in this place, if you're not free, let me tell you something. The contract's already been signed. And the deed has already been made. And the pledge has already been made. And Christ wants to make you free. Stand with me, please.